At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
6:45, quarter till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by our friend Walter Dub Lane, Associate Professor of Economics and Finance at LSU New Orleans, my alma mater. How you doing, Dub?
Hey, good morning, Tommy.
Y'all getting ready for the fall semester there?
It started on Monday.
Oh,
so
did it? Okay.
Well underway.
How's enrollment?
Not quite what we would hope for, but it's better.
Okay, that's better. Let's talk about the national debt. $40 trillion, the Secretary of the Treasury saying that's not a magic number. The Vice President saying that the Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent, has a very discreet plan to shrink the nation's debt. So I don't know if it's a secret plan or what it is, but how troubling is $40 trillion in debt?
Well, the number itself is just a kitchen grabber. The key issue is how much is the debt and how much is it growing? Mm-hmm. 40 trillion, I'm pretty good with numbers, but $40 trillion is a number I just can't even conceive of. So what economists like to do is to try to put it more in perspective. We like to measure debt by the percent of our gross domestic product, GDP. Mm-hmm. In other words, that's all the dollar value of everything we produce in the country in a given year. And if that number is a big percentage, it's kind of like thinking, you know, let's suppose you have $100,000 income. If you've got $10,000 in debt, you can handle that pretty good. If you've got $200,000 in debt, that's going to be a little harder. Mm-hmm. Now, it also, the second question, the later we're talking is, what is the debt used for? But still, the GDP, I used to teach a group of Austrian students that came about American economic problems. And 20 years ago, I was teaching them about our debt and what to worry about. And I said, oh, at the time, our debt is not a real big problem because the numbers were big numbers. But the point is 80% of that debt owed by Americans is owed to Americans. Mm-hmm. That is, we own the debt. Different people own the debt. So, you know, we're borrowing money from ourselves. So that's not quite so scary. The other 20% is owned by foreign countries, mostly China. That's a little more worrisome.
That was then.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the principle.
Yeah.
But at that time, the debt was like 50% of GDP.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you know, if it gets much higher, then we should start worrying. Well, $40 trillion right now is over 120%
wow.
of our GDP. Let me give you a little perspective. About 10 years ago in the European Union, one of the countries, Greece, was having a real problem with debt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the rest of the EU imposed very harsh sanctions to try to get Greece to clean up their act. At that time, Greece had a debt of 80% of its GDP, okay? And at that time, everybody thought that was completely unacceptable. Well, now, what do you do when it's 120%? You know, it's just crazy. You know, there's lots of analogies that you can think of. One is that every one of us were to sell our house today, give the money to the government to pay off the debt, it wouldn't be enough.
Mm.
That's how much $40 trillion is. So, you know, the numbers are scary, but the question is, what effects will this have on the economy and on the government and on us?
I want, those are rhetorical questions, but I'd like answers. What effects are going to have?
Well, we're seeing it already. You know, look what's happening to bond yields. In other words, interest rates. They're going up because just like if you're borrowing money from a bank and you've got a really high credit rating, sometimes you can get, you know, pretty low interest rates. Mm-hmm. But if you owe a lot of money and you have very, very scary finances, one of the things that makes you, well, I'll loan to you, but I'm going to charge you a much higher interest rate. Well, that's what happens when the country as a whole is in a tenuous financial position. The rest of the people are only going to loan us money at a higher interest rate. Well, now we pay that interest to ourselves, but the key problem is right now, it's already started. The interest payments by the federal government on the debt are higher than what we pay for defense. In another 10 years or so, those numbers going to be getting higher and higher and higher. And so the government's not going to be able to afford all these other things like paying Social Security and Medicare and building roads. They'll have to spend all of it on the debt. That's kind of the real scary position. We're moving in that direction.
So let's go back to our example. You're making $100,000 a year. Now you have $240,000 in debt. And you got to service that debt. You got to pay the interest on it, right? So in our hypothetical example, what kind of interest would we be paying out of that $100,000 that we're making a year on the $240,000 of debt if my 20%, if my 120%?
Well, again, there that interest rate depends upon the rest of the markets. But I say it, part of it is that if you're a high-risk person, they charge you a higher interest rate.
But just round numbers.
Let me give you the second part of that.
Okay.
Is most of us who have $100,000 income do have a $200,000 debt in our house. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't sound quite so scary. The question is, what are you using the money for? If you're borrowing money to buy an asset, in other words, to buy a house, yes, the bank owns it now, but it's ultimately, when I pay it off, it's my house. I own an asset that I've been investing in by borrowing. Mm-hmm. Same thing would be true with a car or any other asset. If you were borrowing $200,000 to spend on vacations or, you know, things that don't matter, then when it's, you know, you don't ever have an asset at the end to pay it back.
All right, let me stop right there. And when we come back, we'll talk about what the government is doing. Are we spending it on a house or are we spending it on vacation? We'll keep the analogy going with Walter Dubb Lane, Associate Professor of Economics and Finance at my alma mater, I'm proud to say, LSU New Orleans. 651 traffic now, WWL.
From Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters, WWL Traffic Center, I'm Courtney P. Over the Bonnie Carey Spillway, no issues or delays to report there. I-10 East Kenner to downtown New Orleans. Light congestion starts in the airport area, hangs on to Veterans, clears to downtown from there. I-10 West Orleans East to downtown, you'll tap the brakes between the Morrison Curve and the high rise. Downtown elevated steady to the flyover. Flyover moderately congested to Business 90. Crescent City Connection, West Bank to downtown. Light congestion begins at General De Gaulle. Huey P. Long in the causeway, no delays there. I-55 north and southbound free and clear. No delays on I-12. I-59 is delay free. Traffic is sponsored by Louisiana Lottery. And there's your look at traffic with Courtney P. on WWL.
I was over at KronosBHW.com yesterday getting a shot of hormone replacement therapy, also weight loss shots. And they have helped me a lot. And guys, if you don't know what hormone replacement therapy is, you begin to lose free testosterone in your body when you turn 30. It's just a force of nature. It happens. And that can result in maybe you gain some weight, you're tired, you lose muscle mass, and you're not as sharp mentally as you used to be. It just happens. It's the aging process. Now, you can't stop the aging process, but you can change the way you age with hormone replacement therapy at Kronos BHW. Now, it's got to be medically sound. That's where Dr. Mae Scott comes in with a blood test and making sure that you don't have too much free testosterone, because that can cause a whole bunch of problems. You don't want that to happen. But why not get back to where you were? The guy that was full of energy, that had the drive to tackle your day, go to the gym and really crush the workouts. And the thing that I've noticed that I love about the hormone replacement therapy is before I started, if I was working out and I would lose a week or two, I'd be back to ground zero, and we'd have to start all over. But now with this, I don't lose what I had built up before. It makes a big difference in the way you feel, the way you live your life. So I would say if you're over 30 and you've not been checked and you have any of those symptoms of fatigue or weight gain, loss of muscle mass, decreased cognitive function, go to KronosBHW.com. Let Dr. Mae Scott show you what they can do for you. They help me with weight loss drugs as well. They're on North Arnold near Drago's. So it's very convenient, very non-judgmental, very great atmosphere. Kronos, KronosBHW.com. Make your appointment today. 6:55, 5 till 7. Quickly back to Walter Dublane, Associate Professor of Economics and Finance at LSU New Orleans. We're talking about the national debt reaching $40 trillion and its percentage to GDP. And, Dub, we were talking about an analogy before of, okay, you got all $100,000 income, you got $200,000 plus in debt. And are you paying it to, is that debt in the form of your house that you're paying off, or is it like vacations or something frivolous that you're getting and spending the money on, and then you don't have anything to show for it? It's not a capital acquisition, right? So what is to carry that analogy forward, what is the government doing with the money and that we're spending here?
Well, they do a little bit of capital expenditure. In other words, when they build highways, things of that sort, or in our case, usually it's rebuilding highways. They're investing in infrastructure and assets. That's not what most of the government debt goes for. Most of the government debt goes for things like Social Security and Medicare and the SNAP benefits and all of the regulatory agencies, the FDA and the EPA and all those people that govern things. And in other words, it's almost all that at the end of the year, when you spent that amount of money, the next year you got to spend it all over again. Mm-hmm. There's no asset that's being created by that spending. So that's the nature of government spending, which is why many economists push for much closer to what we are, say, a balanced budget. And nobody's been saying that anymore. It used to be the Republicans said that, but they only say that when the Democrats are in power. Now, the Republic, that's why the other things that it makes sense for the federal government to pay debt for is like in a war. World War II, our debt went up skyrocketing because we were building all those bombs and the ships and everything. But then after the war, it came back down again. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we have a war now. That's not a huge part of our debt. Our problem is that we don't have enough taxes to meet our expenditures. And you mentioned the secretary has a plan. There's only two possibilities to start lowering the debt. Which, and again, the only person's ever lowered we haven't lowered the debt in our lifetime. Mm-hmm. Under the Clinton administration, they stopped borrowing for a little bit. They had a balanced budget, but that's the best we can hope for, is to move into that direction. And the only way to do that is either raise taxes or lower government spending. Well, you've seen Doge was trying to lower government spending. The amount that they reduced government spending, which caused lots and lots of disruptions, was only a drop in the bucket in terms of percentages, 1 or 2%. And the problem is they lowered taxes by a lot more than that. So that's why the Trump administration is building up debt at some of the fastest rates of anybody.
So at what point does this tip, Dub?
No, that's the hard part. And again, like you say, back when Greece did it, they got a lot of attention because they were the only one like that. Well, now I just scanned Europe and I found out that, Greece is now up to 150%. France is over 100%. The UK is over 100%. A lot of the European countries are also up at. Germany's pretty good. They're still at 70%. And Japan is one of the worst in the world. They're over 200%. Mm. But they're in really big trouble. I don't know what the tipping point is. That's the hard part. I would have told you 10 years ago that if you get up to about 100%, you're at that tipping point. Well, that hasn't tipped yet, but I think we're getting close. That's all I can say.
Wow. Thank you, Dub. Appreciate it. Walter Dublane, Associate Professor of Economics and Finance at LSU New Orleans, my alma mater. We're going to talk to Aaron Dusso. We come back, a professor of political science, about the politicians in Washington. Do any of them really care about the debt or not? We'll talk to Eugene Green about what's going on in the city. So a lot coming up. Stay with us. Tommy Tucker, WWL. 7:15, quarter after 7 here at WWL on this Friday morning, August 21st. A more likely chance for showers than usual this afternoon. Some of those storms could be heavy, so be aware of that. Aaron Dusso joins us now, Associate Professor of Political Science at Indiana University, Indianapolis. Talk about this national debt exceeding $40 trillion. And does anybody care? Do the politicians care? Do the voters care? Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for having me.
Does anybody care? Do the politicians care? Does this poll well? Is this something that people really care about when it comes to elections or not?
I mean, people say they care, but what's really interesting about polling is so you can do a poll right now or tomorrow or next month, and you can ask people, should Washington do more to address the national debt? And you'll get overwhelming majority. You'll get 70 to 80% of people will say, yes, they should do more. But the reality is that doesn't translate. That concern that we see in that survey doesn't really translate to how people vote. So the American National Election Study will do a survey after every national election. And so this year they'll do another one. And then what it does is it asks a really great question. And that question is, what do you think is the most important problem facing the nation? And it's an open-ended question. People can say anything they want. And what happens is you almost never see debt showing up there more than one or two people. You'll say it, but the overwhelming majority will almost always say something about the economy is always a concern. You know, back in 2002, 2004, terrorism rose up to be one of the top issues. So you see some variance there, but national debt, that's just not something that people ever really mention there. So we don't see it as a driver of votes.
Social issues outweighing national debt as well sometimes?
Right. Yeah. So if something had become politically, a political weapon, essentially, that various parties have used, yes, that'll come up. So like in the 90s, you saw, the issue of same-sex marriage. That came up a lot in some of these surveys because that was a hot button issue at the time. And so they will pop up, but then they oftentimes disappear, after a while.
I saw a statement from the treasurer, Secretary of the Treasury. I don't know if he misspoke or not, but he was conflating deficit with debt. Explain the difference, if you would.
Well, I mean, so the debt is the total amount that we actually owe over time, right? So it just keeps accumulating over the history of the United States. That's what hit $40 trillion for the first time just recently. Now, the deficit is the budget deficit. So we have the annual budgeting process. And so the deficit is how much more we plan to spend in that budget than we actually are going to get in revenue.
So to separate the facts from the politics here, J.D. Vance saying that they inherited the bloated debt from the Biden administration, but to be clear, this has been going on for a long time.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so I think it was 1981 when the national debt first hit $1 trillion. Mm-hmm. And so Ronald Reagan at the time spoke against it, but then increased it by another $2 trillion before he left office. So, yeah, it's something that has been happening and building for many, many years, although it's increased the amount of total number of dollars has started to increase substantially over the last couple of decades.
So the Treasury Secretary saying there's nothing magic about the number 40 trillion, but Representative Ralph Norman, a Republican from South Carolina, saying we cannot tax our way out of this. We cannot keep borrowing our way out of this. Congress must find the backbone to make the tough decisions, rein in spending, and get our fiscal house in order. Problem is, that means the people that are in office right now are going to have to touch entitlement programs, and that's not a way to get reelected, is it?
Well, it becomes a real problem once you start talking about touching Social Security or Medicare and that type of thing. But, I mean, there is a challenge, a thought process as to whether or not how much the United States actually has to deal with it. Once you become a superpower historically, countries, have run up massive debts like this in the past, long-term past many times. And the reality is they ultimately never pay those types of things back because ultimately they're the superpower. And as long as the trust is, in that country exists, then they're okay to have, massive debts like this.
Somebody texted in and said nobody's going to get elected if they tell voters they'll raise taxes and or cut your benefits, even if they should. That's a pretty accurate statement, is it not?
Right. Yeah. You're not going to hear too many people running. I mean, one of the great things about the debt as a political issue is that you can be a part of causing the debt, but then you can run against it every 2 years and you can win office that way.
I'm sorry, Aaron. I got to laugh at that. Say that part again.
So, I mean, well, so there's in this particular issue, it's great because, again, you can be a part of causing the debt, right? Mm-hmm. You can vote for the big, beautiful bill, but then you can run against it 2 years later saying, well, we got to, be more fiscal responsible.
So you're pouring gasoline on a fire, then you're running for reelection saying, we've got to do something about these flames. The flames are incredibly hot. They're dangerous. We need to stop this. Then you get elected, then you start pouring gas on them again so that you can keep the flames up so you got something to run on next time.
Right. Perfect recipe for staying in office for 40 years.
Wow. Incredible. All right. We'll take a break. Pick it up with Aaron Dusso when we come back. Right now, it's time for traffic on WWL.
From Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters, WWL Traffic Center, I'm Courtney P. Over the Bonnie Carey Spillway, no issues or delays to report there. I-10 East Kenner 2 downtown New Orleans. Moderate delay starts in the airport area. Things get heavy at Williams, easing at Veterans, remaining clear to downtown from there. I-10 West, Orleans East to downtown. The slowdown begins at Reed. Heavy around Morrison. That makes its way through the Morrison Curve. Traffic improving at the high rise. Downtown elevated slow but steady from St. Bernard to the flyover. Flyover heavily congested to Business 90. Crescent City Connection, West Bank to downtown. Heavy congestion begins at Stumpf, continues to about General de Gaulle. Have an accident on the road there. Light to moderate congestion crosses the river. Huey P. Long on the causeway, no delays there. I-55 north and southbound free and clear. No delays on I-12. I-59 is delay free. Traffic is sponsored by Thibodeau Regional Health System. And there's your look at traffic with Courtney P on WWL.
Quick question, and it's not rhetorical. Does Helm have the best paint on the planet? Well, maybe it is rhetorical. Helm, yeah, they do. That's because they only sell Benjamin Moore, which is the world's finest paint, because paint ain't paint. And I'll say it backward. Paint ain't paint. It's not. Let Helm Paint Decorating steer you right with quality Benjamin Moore paint. Professional painters, do-it-yourselfers know that it's going to hide more. Benjamin Moore paint will. It's going to cover more. You're going to get a smoother finish, and Benjamin Moore is going to flat out last longer. And speaking of lasting, Helm Paint Decorating is an iconic New Orleans company, family-owned and operated, serving the entire New Orleans region for over half a century. An iconic company. As a matter of fact, you're going to recognize the jingle when I sing it later, because we got a little technical issue and I can't play it. But it's pretty simple. If you've got a painting project, get it done right the first time with quality Benjamin Moore paint from Helm Paint and Decorating, because paint ain't paint. Go to helmpaint.com and let Helm Paint Decorating steer you right. Helm Paint and Supply. Da 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 da. 726, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Yesterday, with national debt exceeded $40 trillion. And if you go to the national debt clock, it's astounding to watch the numbers add up, because it ceases to be real. It increases by $1 million every 20 seconds as those numbers roll by. And Aaron Dusso, professor of associate professor of political science at Indiana University, Indianapolis, our guest and our friend. If the way to get elected and to keep yourself in office for 40 years is to create and embellish the problem and then run against it and then go back and create and embellish it, because it really is a sucker's game. If you think about it, I'm going to give you everything you want, but then I'm going to complain about it costing money when it's time for re-election and blame it on the other guy or the other woman. Then I'm going to go back to doing the same thing, lather, rinse, repeat. How does this end?
Well, I mean, to me, I start to think about, well, ultimately, democracies depend on voters, right? The voters are the base of every single democracy. And in the end, who's at fault? And a lot of times I would just point to, well, it's us. It's me, right? I don't want to spend the amount of time necessary to really understand who or where the debt might have come from, who is spending, or what the bill might actually do, right? Because that's a lot of time. I've got to pay my bills. I got to raise my kids, you know, and that kind of thing. And so it's just too much, right? And so I rely on these shortcuts. And the shortcut that's most common, of course, is partisanship. And so I'm just going to go along with my partisanship. I'll go into the voting booth, look for my R or my D, and I'll vote that way. And then that's what leads to this ability to, if you're a politician, as long as you have the R or the D, you're going to have a certain base of people who will vote for you no matter what you actually do, because they're just not going to spend the time to find out. And they won't believe in opposition if they say, well, look what they did. I don't believe you, because you're the wrong partisanship. And so it's a real quandary, because if you're a voter, you really need to spend a lot of time that you don't have. And so this is a cycle that kind of perpetuates itself in a democracy.
And when it comes to self-sacrifice, which people would have to make if they want to inform themselves, right, like you were saying, and they want to do something about the debt, and which is accumulated, the deficit runs year to year, just to keep our terms straight, they want to do something about it. It's like, okay, well, we're all going to sacrifice, we're all going to tighten our belts. The problem is, human nature being what it is, it's like in a marriage where, wait a minute, you're telling me I can't play golf, but you're still going to go out and buy these designer handbags, or you're telling me that I can't buy these designer handbags and you're still going to go out and play golf. I'm not trying to be sexist about this. I'm just trying to make an analogy. It's hard for you to say that when you perceive that the other guy is still getting theirs and you're not getting yours.
Exactly. I mean, that's where the variable political trust becomes really important. If you want to have that kind of sacrifice, you have to have people actually believe not only trust in their government, they have to trust the rest of their, you know, community and people that we're all sacrificing together. If you have that, you can actually accomplish big things and people will sacrifice, you know, for the common good. But if they don't trust it, they don't believe that others are going to, you know, are going to sacrifice too, that's where you run into real problems.
If I talk to you next year, where are we going to be on this?
I think we'll be higher. $45 trillion.
Because it hit $39 trillion in March. It reached $38 trillion 5 months before that in October. Now we're up to $40. So if we went from $39 to $40 between March and now, you know doggone well, if we talk in another 5 months, we're going to be at $41, then $42, and it's going to continue to grow maybe at an even faster rate, and nobody's going to do anything about this.
Yeah, agree, 100%.
At some point, it's going to come crashing down, I think. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think. Thank you, Aaron Dusso. Have a good weekend. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Eugene Green, New Orleans City Council member, about that audit into the New Orleans sanitation system and more right now. Time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhanced game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and your money is going to move. We're going to help you make better financial decisions. We're going to call out the BS you're finding all over social media. We're going to give you actionable guidance to make your financial life clearer, less stressful. We're going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen to Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger wherever you get your podcasts.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter X.com/AI.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.